Here we go. Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Super Shuttle is shutting down at a major U.S. airport, and I have an update that may keep you out of the hotel pool forever.
Last week, we announced that we're giving away tickets to see the hit show Hamilton, and do that right here on the radio, and at 3:20, we'll tell you how you can enter our drawing in another way to get Hamilton tickets for only $10.
You know, almost everyone likes donuts. You like donuts, right, Tom?
Yummy.
Not everyone can eat them, but almost everyone enjoys a good donut. At 3:35, we take you on the Butler County Donut Trail. Fruity Pebbles Donut, anyone?
At 3:50, Mark dips into the Travel Guys mailbag, answers some of the travel questions about car rental behavior in the boarding area, and then a lot more.
Thank you for taking part of your Sunday afternoon and joining us as we make you smarter travelers here on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks, I want Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. You're here. You made it. And that's what Jimmy Fallon says every night about the Tonight Show. Like, you know, they weren't going to make it. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano with you. We are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And boy, what a beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon for whatever you might be up to. What'd you say, Mark?
We have a, I have a faulty headset here.
No,
I'm just kind of fading in and out. That's all right. Well, anyway, congratulations to the Aggies.
Isn't that something?
I mean, I know this is a travel show, but I think that is so cool. I mean, they had to beat a team that they lost to by 30 points just a couple of weeks ago. And of course, now they're in a play-in game, so they have to win a game for the right to be slaughtered by Kansas in the opening round.
Yeah, you got to play them, though.
But
you never know.
You never know. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that they made it, I think, is really a cool thing. So congratulations to the UC Davis Aggies for sort of kind of making it into the NC2A tournament, and they win that play-in game, why, then they'll actually show up in the bracket. So there you go. I wonder what the odds will be at Reno against the Aggies
book.
Winning the...
Be a big number.
Nobody lower than the eighth seed has ever won, so don't get too excited. So how are you, Mr. Romano?
Doing well. Glad to be here. Been anxiously awaiting our show for today because we're going to go on the donut trail. And
that was one of the more fun interviews that we have done. Going out on the Ohio Donut Trail, and we sit down and talk to this lady, and we find out that one of my tour groups is going to be nearby the Donut Trail very soon. So we're going to experience the Donut Trail firsthand. I will be able to report back to you in just a matter of weeks.
Also very excited about letting our listeners know about their opportunity to win tickets. And not just any ticket, but a pretty decent seat to Hamilton in San Francisco.
An orchestra ticket. We're going to give away the first pair next Sunday here on the Travel Guys. And in just right after the news here, we're going to tell you how you can win tickets from us or how you can get tickets in the lottery that they're having in San Francisco for only $10. So it gives you, if you don't have your Hamilton tickets yet, it gives you a couple of opportunities. You'll want to stay tuned for that. I am headed down to spring training on Monday afternoon. And yes, you have that look on your look of jealousy on your face. Yeah. Now, I invited you, so
I know.
You could go. But there are a few things like spring training in Arizona. However, I will note that it has been getting warmer in Arizona in recent years during spring training, noticeably warmer. And checking the weather forecast for the time that we're there, I see it's going to be over 90 each day. So yipers.
Well, you know, here again about me not going to spring training, it really boils down to the fact that, you know, I haven't had that experience yet because those that do go back time and time again.
They do.
So I haven't made the first plunge because, you know, I love baseball.
Right.
I'll catch a couple of games during the year, but I just, I like seeing the big boys play.
And who would do the radio show if we were both down in spring training?
That's another good point. Look, we got lots to cover, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, it's the Travel News. backed by Huey Lewis.
Yes.
And the news. Mark, what do you got
for us? Our very own band
today?
Right here in studio. Washington wants to halt the downsizing of airline seats, is what the headline screams. You think your airline seat is getting smaller? It actually is. You've lost 4 inches in the last 25 years in length, and you've lost an inch and a half in width.
And it's pretty hard for anybody going on a diet to kind of balance that out, you know. And...
exactly. It's pretty hard to lose an inch and a half in width. You know, once it gets out there, it's pretty tough. All right. Some congressmen and senators have introduced a bill that would set a limit that would say basically that, you know, you cannot make the seats any smaller ever. They're approaching it from the standpoint of it's not safe. You can't get the people out of the airplane when they're all packed in if there mm-hmm. were an emergency that close together. Airline seats used to be an average of 35 inches apart. Now they are an average of 31 inches apart, unless, of course, you fly Spirit, where they are 29 or 30 inches apart. Make sure you take your professional's kneecap seat remover with you if you fly on some of those airlines so that you can get your kneecaps out of the back of the seat in front of you before you get off the airplane.
And in nowadays, you know, they have to use shoehorns to get people into the the seat.
Pretty soon.
And they make this sound when they finally get out.
Pretty soon, as you get on the plane, they will spray a thin film of Crisco down each side of
you. There you go.
And that way you'll be able to just fit very
nicely into
the seats. Delta Airlines has been fined $90,000 because they didn't provide sufficient food to passengers sitting through four lengthy tarmac delays in New York and Atlanta last summer, not winter. When that tarmac delay thing was passed a number of years back, when all those folks had to sit in the snow in Detroit, and so the rule was made that you couldn't do that anymore. You had to let people off the plane within a couple of hours. You had to have a gate. Don't put them on the plane if you can't get them off. So Delta here apparently got caught in some summer weather delays and had flights that were headed for Greenville, South Carolina, and Portland, Maine, and they couldn't get the flights back to the terminal. They didn't put any snacks on them because they were very short flights, so they couldn't feed the people. They couldn't get them off the plane, so they broke the rules. So they got fined $90,000. So that's the name of that tune. You know what? Yeah. Well,
shame.
It's people say, well, just for putting a couple bags of peanuts. But the whole plan is, if you're going to go out there and do something that causes a huge delay, and you didn't have a plan B, then that's what happens to you. $90,000. Congratulations, Delta. You can buy a lot of peanuts for that. Southwest Airlines is having a pretty good sale. We don't always mention sales here on the Travel Guys, but this is a fairly good one. It's good for Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturday travel between March 28th and June 14th. And then again for the last week of August and through September. That's the first one that I've seen for the end of the summer. And what that tells you, Tom, is that from June the 15th to August the 21st, no one is going to discount airline seats, with the possible exception of a couple of days over 4th of July weekend, you know, the middle of those holiday weekends. But anyway, Southwest is having a reasonably good sale. Cedar Breaks National Monument in Utah has been designated as an international dark sky park.
What does that mean?
I thought that was really interesting. It means that it is a place where there is a sanctuary of natural darkness, and you do not have lights from a nearby city or something like that, and it's really, really dark there. And having been out on a cruise ship in the middle of the Pacific Ocean when it was really dark one time, and being able to see the sky and remembering that like it was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen, mm-hmm. Cedar Breaks wouldn't be a bad place to go. It's a national monument. It's about 9,000 feet up in Utah. So if you go to the Zion Bryce sort of area, it's kind of in between them. But you've got to make sure that you don't have any issues with altitude sickness or anything like that to be able to go to Cedar Breaks, and you'll be huffing and puffing a little bit, but you can see the stars better from there. We mentioned in the headlines that Super Shuttle is shutting down at a major airport. Why do you suppose Super Shuttle would be shutting down?
Well, let me see. I wonder if some of those Lyft thing,
yeah,
or that
ride-sharing thing might be cutting into their business.
Yeah,
well,
betcha.
That's indeed. They said that it really is because of the fact that there are so many regulatory situations that they have to deal with there, and it makes it hard to provide people with good service and blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to suggest to you that really and truly what this means is that the rideshare people have, there used to be that niche between a taxi cab. You know, let's face it, you and I live out in the Rancho Cordova area. a taxi cab to the airport these days, I'm guessing it cost us $60 or $70
right,
at least. So
Super Shuttle would be a lot less.
Would be a lot less, but you would you might have to go around and pick up some other people.
Exactly, but not as cheap as an Uber.
So they would be in the middle, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, the sad part about the loss of like the Super Shuttle is if you got a lot of folks that are in your group and a lot of luggage, you know, that would be a good option. Where a lot of times, you know, getting an Uber or a Lyft with a size that you need is near to impossible.
That's a good point. If somebody shows up with kind of a compact car, and you've got three bags, why then your plan is kind of thrown for a wrench. Of course, you can order an Uber Black,
you
are going to get a lot closer to that taxi cab fare as time goes on. Did you know, by the way, we posted that the thing that the Uber guy, you know, maybe he blew it and he got into an argument with his driver. I will tell you that that was hit on more times on our website than anything that's ever been on the Travel Guys Radio website. The Uber CEO losing his mind.
Yeah, it's still there, too, by the way, if you want to go to travelguysradio.com and see what Mark's talking about.
All righty. One of the fallouts here from a Republican versus a Democratic administration in the White House has hit. There was an air travel protection, consumer protection, that was kind of pending before the Department of Transportation. They were looking for further review. This was the one that was going to require the airlines to have complete transparency in pricing. The new DOT Secretary Elaine Chao prematurely suspended further public comment, quote, to allow the president's appointees the opportunity to review and consider this action. That's the none too subtle code for no further action. So it's entirely possible the Airlines for America, which is the airlines lobbying people, they came out. We applaud Secretary Chao's leadership today and look forward to an area of smarter regulation, blah, blah, blah. Air travelers, yes, it looks like the opportunity for airlines to have to really put it all out there for you and tell you that this fare means that you have to pay more for a seat assignment and more to put something in the overhead, that's going to go by the boards, it looks like. But there you have it. All right. We talked about the hotel pool. I said at the top of the news.
I don't know if I want to hear this. I'm leaving the room.
The average backyard pool.
Yeah.
Contains about 2 gallons of urine on the average.
No, not mine. No.
Yeah, the average backyard pool.
Any friends and family, that's not the case.
The average hotel pool on the average.
Fake news here.
Contains closer to 20 gallons of urine. That doesn't count human sweat and even trace amounts of fecal matter that could be in there with the pool chemicals. Notwithstanding the toxic chemical stew, no one is suggesting that you stay out of the pool. Actually, at those levels, there's nothing there. We just suggest that you don't pee in the pool yourself. Shower before you enter the pool and after you leave it, and don't drink the pool water. 20 gallons.
Boy, I'm glad with the random ducks that used to come and land in my pool.
The things
stopped.
The things you can learn that make you a smarter traveler by listening to the Travel Guys. I just want to say that Las Vegas hotel rooms have hit all-time highs. Remember when rooms in Vegas used to be $39.95?
Well, you can still get midweek. It's still much, much lower, but the weekends have gotten absurd. And one of the other reasons, besides all of the gaffing, there is it used to be, you know, not every weekend had some sort of huge event bringing a couple of hundred extra thousand people into Vegas every weekend. But it seems like if you try to book a weekend event, there's always some huge event that is driving the prices up.
Yeah, exactly. And because the fact that many of the big conventions and stuff have over the years looked for the soft spots. You know, they will look for the second week of January or the week after New Year's or the week after Thanksgiving or something, because that's the only time when the rates were reasonable. And so now, in many cases, what they call citywides, a convention that involves many of the hotels in a city, have been placed into some of those low spots. So what used to be the classic low spots in places like Las Vegas are now no more. Average room cost in Las Vegas for last year? $150.21. That counts weekdays. Of course, weekends are going to be more than that, and weekdays will be less.
Averages out.
TravelGuysRadio.com is where you go to find the link for the 5 worst kinds of shoes for travel. I won't give it away, but we have a link there. The 5 worst kinds of shoes for travel. I saw that, and I thought to myself, the ladies will go there and look at that. Intercontinental Hotels is offering you a discount of up to 7 cents a gallon at Shell gas stations, depending on your level in their frequent guest program. Intercontinental Hotels, that's Holiday Inn and the like. You can go to IHG Hotels for details, and that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And when we return, well, we're going to tell you how you can win those Hamilton tickets that we've been talking about. That's next, right here on your radio.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano.
Yo.
Everything that we talk about today on the radio can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to lots of interesting things from the news, those five, including the shoes that you should not wear on a plane. Five worst shoes for travel are there. There's a little thing about the naked magicians.
Oh, boy.
We are trying to get the naked magicians on the air. And hopefully we'll have them next.
News to me, by the way.
Yes. Well,
friends,
there's always breaking news here on the Travel Guys. So, Hamilton opened last week in San Francisco. Biggest Broadway phenomenon in history. And tickets still going for, if you want to see the show in New York City and you don't have a ticket, you can get one about 9 months out for face value, or you can get one for tonight for about $550 online if you want to go. If you want to go in San Francisco, where the show opened last week, you can get tickets for, as I saw one for $275 that was a balcony ticket. Those originally sold for about $100. If you want to sit in the orchestra, it's about $375 was the cheapest date there. So we have a few tickets, and we are going to give them away starting next week. You know, the show opened last, I'm not going to say yet, I'll just drag that out for another minute or so. The show opened last week, Tom. But it's very interesting. There are no reviews online. You know, traditionally a show opens in a city, and then the next day, and the press goes, and the next day you hear what the press thought.
And why would that be?
Well, there's no review because the show, while it opened Friday at the Orpheum, the official press opening is March the 23rd. So those dates in that period, that 2 week period of time, would normally be considered previews. And normally those preview shows would sell for a significant discount over the shows that the tickets for after the show opened, because after all, during a preview, legitimately, they could, if something went wrong during the show, they could stop and start over. And you're saying that I'm coming to a preview, so I know that it might not be perfect, you know. But in this case, these tickets are so hot that the producers of the show wanted to sell the tickets for the same price for the previews, so they didn't call them previews. They just said, well, the show opened. I guess it's kind of a soft opening. The press won't see the show until the 23rd of the month,
okay,
which by then there will be, I don't know how many thousands of reviews online from everybody else who has seen it. So it's kind of a, makes it kind of a moot point. But that's why there are no official reviews from Hamilton.
Why do we even need press reviews with social media like it is?
Well, very
there's going to be so much out there, and oftentimes by people that that you know and trust.
What was the guy's name who reviewed
me
for the Bee for so long? Joe, what was his name? I used to say
Dick
that
Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy before that. if the Bee reviewer didn't like it, there was
up
a good chance. Exactly, I would go and see that show because the reviewer from the Bee and I for many years kind of had opposite tastes,
right,
in theater. So I knew that if he didn't like it, I probably would.
Well, the number of folks kind of take that reverse psychology.
So
thing.
A couple of ways to win Hamilton tickets. To get Hamilton tickets without paying $300 or $400 or $700 or $1,200 for them, you can. They are having a lottery every day in San Francisco. This has become a tradition with this particular show. In San Francisco, you can get into the lottery. The tickets are $10 if you happen to win the lottery. Some of them will be 40 tickets every night, every given away. They'll be given away by 11 o'clock in the morning, actually the day before, so that you'll know whether or not you've won and are able to go. They did this in New York City, and they made you show up for the lottery and then wait.
Oh, must be present to win thing.
Must be present
to
win, and they had to shut down a street in New York City.
How about the one in San Francisco? Must be present? No,
no, no. Okay. No, it's all going to be done online. You can only enter one time. So that's one way to get a Hamilton for a Hamilton. To get Hamilton.
Okay.
Ham for ham, they call it.
Yeah, okay.
$10. For a great Hamilton ticket. Now, if you want to get Hamilton tickets from us, We have six of them. They are lower orchestra seats, and they are for a specific date. They are in July. And if you would like to win two of those tickets, you go to travelguysradio.com. Just on the left-hand side, right at the top of the page, you see Hamilton Ticket Giveaway.
Oh, I see it. I'm looking
you
at it right now.
You put your name and your... It's just very simple. You put your name and your email address and your phone number.
Okay, I'm doing that
now.
And
a place you've always wanted to visit, you can't win.
No.
And you send, and you hit send. We have received about four dozen of them already. And I suspect you will probably get a couple hundred more now that this is up on the... You can only enter once. There's no advantage to entering more than once. And in fact, if you do, we'll just throw your entries away. So please...
Not all of them, just all but one.
All of them. So just only enter once.
Ooh.
Or all of your entries will go away. Travelguysradio.com.
Don't forget that. Enter only once.
We are going to give away a pair of tickets next week and a pair of tickets each of the following 2 weeks to go see Hamilton in San Francisco. There are no strings attached. You
now,
just win the tickets.
Now you enter, okay.
You enter, yes.
Now, and you enter once.
Yep.
And is there anything else I need to do?
There's not anything else.
Do I listen to the radio?
Ah, yes, yes. You're a very smart man. You have to. You must be listening in order to win.
Okay.
We will announce your name on the radio. You'll have 10 minutes to call us while the show is on the air and win, and we will have a backup name. So if you don't call us, mm-hmm. 10 minutes later, we will announce the backup winner.
So
you have to be listening to the Travel Guys show and hear your name called to be able to win. Your name will be announced on the first winner will be announced next week. Go to travelguysradio.com and register to win tickets to see Hamilton in San Francisco.
And then listen to the Travel Guys next Sunday between 3 and 4.
That's exactly right.
Okay, coming up after we check in with the news. Mark, we're pretty excited about this interview, and if you want to go to travelguysradio.com, you can see them. We're going to talk donuts and the donut trail next here on the Travel Guys. Welcome, everyone. You're in touch with the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we're about to talk about one of my favorite things, and that is, no, not being on a trail, because we are going to talk about a trail, but that is donuts. Mark, what are your feelings about donuts?
I think donuts, Tom, are truly one of God's great creations. the only problem is that you can only sample them occasionally if you want to maintain any sort of a waistline and live to tell about it. But I got an email a couple of weeks ago from some folks in Ohio who have created the Butler County Donut Trail. And in case you don't know, Butler County is just a little bit north of Cincinnati. And Tracy's on the phone with us. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, everybody.
Listen, there is a link to the website at travelguysradio.com. So if you want to follow along with us, you can, and see some of these amazingly wonderful donuts. And we were talking off the air, Tracy and Tom and I, before the interview started, and it looks like that's I may be somewhere near the donut trail in the next couple of months. So some sports, leisure, traveler, baseball fans might get a chance to experience this. Tracy, tell us, how did the donut trail come about?
Yeah, so the donut trail came about because we have an amazing number of mom-and-pop donut shops that craft artisan donuts every day. Here in Butler County, we have one donut shop for every 17,000 residents. So we thought, what better way to showcase that donut mastery than a donut trail?
Wow, that's a lot of donut shops. Now, you mentioned the ratio. Do you have a number of donut shops? I mean, can you give us is that 20 or...
That's over 20 donut shops. The donut trail features those that are not chain or corporate, so they're all family-owned and operated local right here to Butler County.
Got it.
Wow.
No,
those are the ones we wanted to feature.
There you go. No Dunkin' Donuts or, kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, and Tom, isn't it interesting? That's the first time I've ever heard anybody say we have one donut store for every so many thousand residents. There are some really wonderful, cool donuts. Have you sampled all of these? Have you been to all of the stores here, Tracy, or some of them? Or
I feel like a person who's not a donut fan wouldn't have created the donut trail. So I have done some sampling a time or two. There's some really unique flavors out there. We have everything from a raspberry cheesecake donut to a pineapple fritter. We have an Ohio standby, which is a Buckeye donut, which is a chocolate and peanut butter donut. So there's a wide variety. And then, you know, you always have your standard glazed and cake donuts.
I see a donut here with pebbles, fruity pebbles on top.
Fruity pebbles, surprisingly delicious. You know, the crunch the crunch of that cereal on top of a soft donut is much tastier than you would realize.
Kind of like a sweet and salty sort of concept, right?
Yes, yes, I would say so.
Keep talking.
It says right on the website, Tom, that please take note that some donut shops will close when they sell out. Some shops on the trail have been known to sell out, close by 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
plan an early start. There's a map in everything here, Tom. I mean, you could eat until you had a sugar rush.
You know, you're absolutely right. Usually a good sign of a good donut shop is if you get there at 10 a.m. and there are still donuts, or a lot of them, because usually all the good stuff goes first. Tracy, just kind of take us on a theater of the mind trip on your donut trail. How does it begin? And tell me a little bit about how long you stay at each place. And
sure. So there's 9 total stops. It takes people on average, if you're doing it one day, 3.5 to 4 hours to complete all 9. The idea is that you get your passport, you visit all 9, get a stamp at each one, and then we give you a T-shirt at the end to signify your accomplishment. But I would definitely say it's an emotional roller coaster. You can't eat as many donuts as you think.
What does it say on the T-shirt that you get?
The first year, a T-shirt said "Travel Found Devoured." This year, it says "I Devoured the Donut Trail," and it has a couple of hikers with donuts. So every year, we change the T-shirt.
And Tom, these stores, she's got 10 of them, it looks like, on the donut trail here. One of it is Stan the Donut Man. And of course, Tracy, you're talking to a man who, as I look on my wall, I see Stan Musial's jersey, the old St. Louis Cardinal baseball player, and Stan's nickname was Stan the Man. So
yeah,
obviously the Stan the Man donut store has to be on the baseball tour.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. That's a no-brainer for sure. Which is your favorite donut, Tracy?
You know, it depends. I would say universally my favorite donut is the cream-filled one. I feel like if you're going to take on some sugar in the morning, you might as well go all in on it. So that's always my favorite. But, you know, I can appreciate a traditional round glazed yeast donut as well. So it depends on the day, I guess. There's a different donut for every day of the week.
Now, I have a question here. This is going to kind of define how sophisticated this is. Do donut holes count as something that is a donut on the donut trail, or are they completely banned?
They are not completely banned, and the reason is, again, as I said, you can't eat as many donuts as you want, or you think you can. It's an emotional roller coaster. By the time you get to about donut shop number 3 and eat that third donut, you're thinking, I don't know if I can do this. And so some people opt to choose a couple of donut holes along the way just to make it.
Tom, I cannot wait. This is going into our itinerary in Cincinnati the mm-hmm. first week of May. And on some level, we're definitely going to stand the Donut Man shop. I mean, that's just a given. And I will report back to our Travel Guys listeners on what we find on the donut trail in Ohio. Tracy, thank you so much for giving us a few moments of your time here today. And talking about the donut trail. And if Travel Guys, if you're out there and you're ever getting to Cincinnati or Dayton, Ohio, and you like donuts, there's a link at travelguysradio.com, and you have to pay your own doctor bill, though.
There you go. You'll know when you've had too many when you're ready for this pun. When your eyes begin to glaze over.
Oh,
boom.
Lord.
Okay.
Tracy Kutcher, thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we are the Travel Guys, taking you not on the dusty trail, but on the donut trail today.
When your eyes glaze over,
thank you very much, Luis. Yes, boom.
Yeah. Well, folks, if you tuned in for good comic material, you came to the wrong place. yes, and already we can see, because of the magic of email, that a couple dozen of you have already registered for the Hamilton tickets for next week that we will give away right here on the air. And this is a pretty good deal. I mean, when you think that they get about 20,000 people in, or 20,000 to 40,000 people into that lottery every day, and there are 20 winners.
So I don't know what that breaks down odds-wise. We're probably going to have a few hundred entries, and we're going to have a winner from there. So, I mean, that's a pretty good odds.
Let me point out to our listeners, do not call KFBK, the front desk, and ask about this particular contest, because this is not being put on by the radio station. They're not giving them away. This is strictly a Travel Guys Radio sports leisure vacation event. So don't call the front desk and say, you know, ask about it, because they're not going to know. I may let the Janelle at the front desk know to send the information
so
to us.
But yes.
I just want folks to know that this is not a KFBK run
contest. And
it's
really simple. You just have to go to our website and put your name, your email address, your phone number, and some place that you'd like to travel, and that's all there is to it, and then you're in. And you only have to enter one time. You will be eligible for all three drawings if you enter once.
Oh, good.
We will keep all of the entries. And we will have winners on three consecutive weeks. Tricks for sleeping well on an airplane. Thought I would share a couple of these.
Well, I see your page is blank.
Make people a smarter traveler.
Sleeping well on an airplane.
Yes. You know
or
what?
First
trip tip to sleeping well on the airplane.
Let me guess. Don't sleep the night before.
Oh, God. Sit away from the wings and the bathrooms. It's noisier over the wings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's noisier near the bathrooms. So you get interrupted less. If you dress comfortably, that's kind of a no-brainer. But a lot of people don't think of that. If you don't travel very often, like I have a couple of specific shirts, cotton shirts, long-sleeve cotton shirts that I wear when I'm flying generally. And I generally wear some old Dockers or something like that. You know, something that's, you know, just not doesn't fit too snugly. You can try medicinal sleep aids to sleep on a plane, but one thing that I will warn you is that if you knock yourself out too good on a plane and something goes wrong, then you're knocked out on the plane and something has gone wrong. Get the window seat.
Oh boy, go ahead.
Well, it's true.
Yes.
I mean, everybody gets off the plane and you're snuggled against the window as, you know, the plane sinks in the ocean. They're all out on the wing or something like that. Get the window seat. It'll be easy. It's easy. You'll feel more supported if you're on the window, you know,
right.
That bumping, that bobbing head thing. Pick your pillow. Now, you asked me if the thing that I got for free.
That's right. Sometime a year or so ago, we talked about a device. If I'm not mistaken, it was called, Go to Sleep or something.
I don't know. They gave it to me.
Yeah. And it was
like
a mask.
$50.
It was a mask and a pillow and a rubber band that hooked over the back of the seat behind you to hold your head up and back against the seat, which I thought, seemed like a good idea, but
yeah.
Was.
It's just that you would look weird carrying it around. You would have to have an extra carry on to hold it.
Yeah, that was the hard part, was not feeling extremely awkward. You know,
this little pillow the Calgary Convention
so
and Visitors
there?
Bureau gave me works really well.
Show the people on the radio what that is. Hold that
up.
You
know, it's different. It's not a real airline pillow. I'll take a picture of this,
okay. And
we'll talk about it next week. How's that sound?
It looks like a inflatable neck pillow, but it's different.
Wear an eye mask. Many people's eyes are very sensitive to light. And while in some cabins, many people pull the shades and it's dark, in many cabins it's not. So if you take an eye mask with you that is comfortable, but make sure that it's one that's comfortable, wear it a couple times first before you get on the plane. Noise-canceling headphones are a good idea.
The eye mask thing always concerned me because I wouldn't be able to see if there was an emergency.
Well, it doesn't matter because you've taken, Ambien or something anyway, so you're not getting off the plane.
I won't see it.
Bring your own blanket. Not only do airplanes not have blankets to give out anymore, if you bring something that's familiar to you and it feels familiar, it will help you rest. Bring only one carry-on. Why would bringing only one carry-on help you sleep?
I don't know the answer to that.
You don't know the answer to that? Because the airline says if you've brought two carry-ons, please place one of them under the seat in front of you, which restricts your leg room.
Okay.
So if you only bring one carry-on, now you have more room for your legs, so hypothetically, you will rest a little easier. And the other thing is, don't order a special meal. Well, not a problem in the United States because
right. They
don't serve meals on airlines. But anyway, a few little tips there. Maybe there's something in there that you haven't thought of that you might, but stay away from the wings and stay away from the restrooms. All right, we've got a full mailbag here.
We do, yes. We keep talking about this travelguysradio.com website. Well, we have a place there where folks can send questions to us, and Mark is going to We're going to dip into the Travel Guys mailbag and answer some listeners' questions. That's next, right here on the Travel Guys. Welcome, everyone. You're tuned to the Travel Guys every Sunday, 3 to 4, on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and immediately to my left, Mark Hoffman. Mark, it's that time. We do this about once a month, don't we?
We do. Probably should do it more often than that, because at TravelGuysRadio.com, folks frequently send in little notes and say, you know, is this a good deal? Is that a good deal? How do you do this? How do you do that? And I'm always, and I try to answer every one of them individually if I can within a day or two. So if you don't get an answer right away, it's just because Mark is traveling and didn't get the opportunity to answer them. But anyway, you can send us your questions and we will answer them. And I have a few of them today that I've selected out of the mailbag. This one comes from a couple, says they're going on a week-long cruise that departs from Miami. They're worried that a 4:30 p.m. arrival at the airport from Sacramento might not give them time to make it to the ship before it sails at 7 o'clock. Would you recommend an overnight stay in Miami? Yes, Tom and I are both smiling because, no, you would never, ever book your flight on the same day that your ship sailed, ever. That would be a really cardinal sin. And in fact, I might suggest to you that there is absolutely nothing wrong with going 2 days before your cruise sails. Because if you go the day before, I'll give you an example. On Thursday morning, we had a group of folks that were headed to the East Coast with Sports Leisure Vacations. And they were supposed to leave Sacramento at 7 a.m. And their flight left Sacramento at 3:36 in the afternoon. The plane had a mechanical problem. The part had to be flown in from another city. And by the time it could all be fixed and stuff like that. So those folks ended up in Washington, D.C. at midnight, and they didn't get to their connecting city until the next evening at 7 o'clock, Jacksonville. So if there had been, you know, if their ship had been sailing from Jacksonville, even leaving a day early wouldn't have gotten there.
Yeah, and here again, just because it's an early flight, and oftentimes we figure that, you know, delays are going to be far less if it's an early morning flight, and usually that's the case.
It is, generally.
But Mark just pointed out an example that you certainly wouldn't want to be put yourself in a position if you're, you know, trying to
if you're
hook
taking
up with
a cruise. Always, 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 cardinal rule, one night on the ground before the cruise sails. Mm-hmm. If you are coming a great distance, like, you know, if you lived in Florida, I would tell you, you know, drive over to Miami and spend the night beforehand. But if you're coming from California, you really ought to consider two nights on the ground, because you're not going to get there. Even if you leave it at the old dark 100, you won't get there until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And the other thing is, you could leave here at noon and get in at midnight, spend the night, have a day to relax, and maybe go to the drugstore and get the things that you forgot before you get on the cruise ship. And it's all a very civilized way of doing things. So Jeff, in answer to this question, never sail, never travel on the day you're sailing. But really, you should always give yourself one night, but I would say two.
You know, in a lot of cases, folks that are going to be taking a cruise oftentimes end up in a city that they've never visited before, but they're going there now because that's where, you know, the cruise is going to take off. And here's an opportunity for them to see a little of that city and enjoy that and make that part of their vacation. For perhaps they're flying to Seattle, where they're going to be hooking up to take an Alaska cruise, mm-hmm. and so forth. So those extra day could be a lot
of
fun.
If you're going to Vancouver or Fort Lauderdale or Miami, these are ports with a lot of cruise ships sailing out of them. Their airports are zoos. The cruise docks are zoos. So it doesn't hurt to just, you know, we're always preaching to people to give yourself an extra 15, 20 minutes at the airport. And so I would just tell you, giving yourself an extra 24 hours before a big trip like that sails, you've invested thousands of dollars. Maybe your family is going, or maybe there's just two of you or four of you or whatever, but you've invested a lot of money with airfares and cruise costs and what you're going to spend on the cruise. And maybe you can't duplicate this. Maybe you're a busy person and recreating that 3 or 4 months later is not really possible for you. So really and truly, a word to the wise here, give yourself a little bit. When traveling, as a general rule, give yourself a little bit of extra time. All right, here's another one here from the mailbag. When you get one of those 3-day, 2-night free vacations, how do you know if it's legit or not?
How about never?
Thank you, Tom.
Not that how do you know, but when are they legitimate?
It's always going to cost you something. It's always a marketing ploy. You're getting something. And if it really truly is free, there is likely to be a service charge, taxes, something unforeseen that you haven't been told at the point in time. Or it's possible that the place that you're going to is not as represented. It's really not a very good hotel or not in a very good neighborhood or something like that. So really and truly, yes, when you get the free 3-day and 2-night vacation, the best thing to do is file 13 and get on with your life. Another one from the mailbag here. My husband and I are planning a vacation to Las Vegas. We hear you talking about resort fees all the time. Is there any way to avoid them? What about getting internet without paying the resort fee? So the one thing of any value that the resorts are putting in the resort fee package generally is internet. So if you don't pay or you somehow get a position where you can opt out of the resort fee, then it becomes hard. May I make a recommendation? If you travel even a little bit, get yourself a phone signal. You know, like on my phone, I pay Verizon $30 or $40 a month. So anywhere there's a Verizon phone signal, I have internet. So that, and also it's a lot safer than tapping into public internet all the time when you're traveling. So if you travel frequently, I might suggest that is a way to, and the way to avoid paying resort fees in Las Vegas, don't stay on the Strip. There are lots of hotels a block or two off of the Strip, a Marriott Suites that I'm particularly fond of.
You could pay less. You're going to pay something, but you'll pay less.
That's right. And you're many places, there are no resort fees. And in some cases, you'll find that the hotel rates are even a little bit lower. So, okay, let's see here. One more. When renting a rental car, we've got 2 minutes here left.
2 minutes.
When renting a car, I found some incredibly low prices on the internet, but some companies are ones I've never heard of. Could they be local companies? Meaning, I think the local company where the person's traveling to. I'd really like to take advantage of some of these prices. I have seen these also where it says rent a car for as low as $7 a day. And when you get there, it's a bait and switch situation usually. Oh, the $7 cars are all gone. We do have this $47 car out here, however, that you could rent. Or the $7 car is there, but there's a per mile charge. That used to be the case with rental cars where you paid per day or per mile. You know, further you drove, the more you paid. Now it's just generally a flat fee when you rent a car. But in some cases, these very low ones that you see advertised on the internet come. It's kind of like we say here often in travel, if it seems too good to be true, it oftentimes is. So really do your homework. I really recommend not renting from secondary rental car companies, particularly in big cities. When you get there, you will encounter lines and big delays and lots of hassle, and you will say to yourself, I should have listened to Mark.
And certainly, if you're going to be there for, what's the number, 4 or 5 days,
yep.
Rent for the week.
Yes, it'll be much cheaper. That very good travel tip there, Mr. Romano. What's coming
Thank
up
you.
On the show next Sunday?
Next Sunday, let's see, we've got Steve LaRosa joining us. We're going to do a what's going on all around the Sacramento area. Also, if you've ever thought about traveling by RV.
Uh-huh.
Join us.
Join us next week. The first two of the Hamilton tickets will be given away next Sunday. Remember to dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock on The Travel Guys.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next time.